shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening, this is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard live tonight over shortwave radio station WWCR, 4.84 megahertz, that's transmitter 3, and 5.89 megahertz, that's transmitter 4, and also radio station WBCQ at 7.49 megahertz, also shortwave, and both of those stations have internet feeds that you can go to and listen. You can also go to our website, kingidentity.com, KINGIDENTITY.com. Go to our radio page and you'll see links right there, including one where you can listen live to the Kingdom Concepts broadcast. We're going to have a very interesting program tonight and also a very important program. And if you'd like to join us with your questions and your comments, you can call our toll-free number, 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. That's 877-924-7722. As I said, tonight's broadcast is on a very important subject. It's the real difference between the races. The true distinction between the sons of God and the created races is far more than just skin color, which is commonly taught. Seldom is this subject even discussed, even among those people who know our identity as true Israel. My guest tonight is a pastor and a Bible scholar for half a century. He's written a number of books, including Racial Difference More Than Skin Deep, which we publish, and he's a man I have a great deal of respect for. I'd like to welcome back to the broadcast Pastor Everett Ramsey.
Thank you, Brother Mike. It's wonderful to be with you again. We always look forward to the times when we can spend some time together and talk to the people about the God, about God and His Word and Jesus Christ and who we are and who God is. So we're looking forward to tonight.
Well, we appreciate having you. It's commonly taught that we're all one race and the only difference is skin color, and that's in spite of observable and verifiable differences between the races, along with spiritual discernment. What have you found from your studies in the Bible that's the real difference between the races?
Well, obviously, this is a very controversial subject today, only because the government public schools for the last 50 years or so have taught that we all came from Adam, and Adam was the first man, and all colors came from him. Nobody can tell you where the colors changed or when they changed. They guess. Some people say, well, Ham and his descendants there, they turned black or something when they sinned, or at the Tower of Babel, God changed the color of the race of people. He did confuse their language, of course, but doesn't say anything about changing their race or their racial genetics. So there's absolutely no proof from scriptures that all people came from Adam. It isn't there. And there's more evidence that people existed before Adam upon this earth. And the creation scientists, while I'm glad they believe in creation, they confuse things and they make people look to be stupid when they say that the world is only 6,000 years old and Adam was created 6,000 years ago and that's where it all began and that's where it all started. Evidently, Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah didn't believe that. They talked about having visions of things which describe very clearly what would have been the Ice Age and the destruction of the human race as it existed at that time, and tearing down cities and destroying animals and so forth. So the Earth has had at least one generation before Adam, and may have had more. We don't know. We can't just throw all science out the window just because it doesn't fit our preconceived idea of what we think the Bible has said in order to fit our theology. We do know that the Bible is very clear, at least to those of us who study the original languages and understand the original languages, understanding when I say that the current Hebrew, which is considered and taught to be the original language, is not. The original Hebrew was translated into Greek, and that Greek was translated into Latin, and that Latin was again retranslated back into Hebrew, which we have today. Unfortunately, the enemies of God's people had a lot to do with that translation, and a lot of the Old Testament, even in the King James Version and the Geneva Bible and all of them, using the current modern Hebrew language sometime around 300 to 500 A.D., has words that have been altered and been changed, and publishers have changed. You know, I have a King James Bible, and I have always used a King James Bible. Not that I believe that, as one fellow told me, he thought that Paul and Silas had a King James Bible in jail, which would have been totally impossible. But that's kind of the ignorance of our people today. And the King James Bible that I have in the very front pages tells you who published it, and it says this is the original King James Version with 37 revisions. Well, that means 37 times they've gone in and revised various verses and words and scriptures when they printed it, starting from many dozens of years ago. So the more modern they try to make the Bible, the less effective and less truthful it is. But anyway, the Bible does tell us that in the Bible it uses Hebrew and Greek words, and for the word Holy Spirit or Spirit, and it's used as the wind. If you go to John chapter 3, I believe it is, where Nicodemus went to see Jesus, and Jesus said, "The Spirit cometh and goeth, no man knoweth where, like the wind." And over we see the word breath and wind as speaking of the Spirit. Well, if you go to Genesis chapter 2, you see where God created Adam out of the dust of the earth, and it said he breathed into him the breath of life. And, of course, that is the Spirit of life. Well, not every race has it. Adam, the word Adam means ruddy or able to blush. There's only one race of people in the world that can blush, and that is the white race as we know it. And it's been, I have to say, our race has not been honest with themselves and with God. They've mixed with a lot of other races, and so you get a lot of tints and shades. But the point being that when God created Adam, he put in him a spirit. And the purpose of that was that God could live in him and rule through him. And that is the definition of Israel, one whom God rules through, or by, or via, or whatever you want to call the, whatever adjective you want to use. And so in that sense of the word, Adam was an Israelite in that he was one whom God lived in and ruled through. He certainly did not descend from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is the nation and tribes of Israel. But the Adamite race has the Spirit, has a place for the Spirit. Now, when they sinned, they lost that indwelling of God, and they were cast out of the garden. But they were promised over and over again that the Spirit would return to live within Adam, and that happened on the day of Pentecost. And from that day forward, God's people, as the Spirit chooses to enter them and give them new life and revitalize them and prepare them. And Paul says in Acts 15 and also, or Luke said in Acts 15 and Paul says in Romans 8, that we're still waiting for that day when the sons of God will be manifested to the world. And the world waits. The creation waits. So the problem is that Jesus Christ had to be born of the descendants of Adam and the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in order to be a redeemer. The law of God says that only a kinsman can redeem us. And if you go into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read the purposes for which Jesus came, it says over and over again, he came that he could redeem his people and redeem Jacob or to redeem Joseph or to redeem the Israelite people. And unfortunately, when Jesus was here, the city of Jerusalem was taken over by an admixture of Jews, which were not Israelites, and they were mixed with the seed of Esau, and they were mixed with the seed of Cain, and they were cursed people, and they rejected Christ, and they crucified him, and that people still lives today, and many people believe they're the chosen people, but they're not, and the race mixing is a problem. We find in Genesis chapter 6 that the Bible says that the sons of God and the daughters of men, or of Adamites, got together and they cohabitated, and there was this this ungodly spirit of giant men, of renowned men, and soon the whole race of Adam would be corrupted, and then for the Redeemer to come, the Lord had to save somebody out of that race, and he did. He chose Noah. And the Bible says that he was found to be righteous. Well, what does that mean? A lot of people think that means he was sinless, and that he wasn't. So a lot of people think that means that he wasn't a drunkard or wasn't a whatever would have been considered sinful in those days. But that was not it. The Bible says in Genesis 6:9, that he was righteous because his genetics were pure. He was not mixed. He and his family had remained true to their race. And God chose him and his family to be on the boat and to be saved over the flood in order for them to restart the race. And they did. And the Bible says that because of the mixing, if you go into that chapter 6 and you read that chapter, you see that the mixing brought on great violence. And this is the thing that our people are refusing to admit and to look at, is that they keep importing more and more, immigrating more and more non-Adamite, non-Christian, non-spirit people, and mixing them up with ours. We've even got some Mennonites and Amish who think it's a wonderful thing to take their girls down into Belize and marry those black boys down there and bring them back to work on the farms here in this country. But it's a terrible thing because it makes them violent. Their children are violent. And violence will reign. And everybody says, well, all they need to do is be saved. Well, that's not true. How can you be saved? How can you be born again? How can you have a spiritual connection with God if you don't have a spirit? And these other races don't have a spirit like Adam has. They don't have the same kind of power within them by the Holy Spirit to withhold them from many evils. Well, you say, well, there's a lot of white people that do bad things. Well, folks, you can't take a few exceptions somewhere. There's some awful nice black folks. There's awful nice Oriental folks. And we're not supposed to be ugly to them. We're not supposed to be unkind to them. but to try to make them into covenant people with God and people who are redeemed and have eternal life when that is not the purpose of God, is we're doing a shameful thing in that. And the churches have just really failed in this area, and they've gone the wrong direction. So Adam was created to take dominion of the earth, and he was going to do that by the Lord God living in him and ruling through him. And, of course, when he sinned and they were put outside the garden, death came to them, and they were having to live like all the other people of the world. And they wound up mixing, and that brought on the first flood. And there are several other places in the scriptures, especially if you look at Ezra and Nehemiah, you'll find out that they had to come back home, and they found that their people had intermarried with some of the Canaanite people, and they were so angry, and the priests told them they had to get rid of their Canaanite wives and husbands and children. And it says they pulled out their hair and they clawed themselves. It was a painful process. And somebody says, well, that's because they worship false gods. And time after time after time, God says you cannot marry them. You cannot have contracts with them. You can't carry on business with them. You can't do these kind of things. Because they don't have the same basis of right and wrong as you have. Well, immediately people say, well, it wasn't a racial issue, it was they had the wrong God. Well, come on, folks. Be smarter than that. God didn't think he had to say they have a different God because of the race, but that's it. They didn't have a different God because they just chose to have a different God. It's because they didn't have the Spirit of God, and therefore, of course, they had a different God. The Muslims today is primarily the black race. And if, you know, I preached in a lot of churches from 84 to about 89 or 90, 1990, and I got into every state in the Union. I got into every kind of church. I even got into some black churches. And I had a lot of meetings where there were black preachers. And let me tell you, folks, they don't preach the gospel of redemption. They don't preach the gospel of repentance. They don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They preach a political gospel. And their whole function is to get their people out, to control the government, and to get their rights. That's their primary purpose. Yeah, they try to help one another, and they try to do some good deeds, and that's fine. But they're not pushing the gospel of the kingdom. And that's what Jesus preached. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of personal salvation has become the idol of the churches in our day and time because it helps build great big churches. But that was not what God was purpose doing through Jesus Christ when he came here. I did a special study and wrote an article on it for my newsletter that the gospel which Jesus preached was the gospel of the kingdom. And that's what we're not getting in our churches today. We're not getting that which has to do with the kingdom. Well, what about the non-Adamic races? You say, well, and you know, it shows the reason people don't like this message is because they don't know what to do with the other answers, like, people automatically say, well, what does that mean? Everybody's going to go to hell except Israelites and white folks? No, that's not what it says at all. I don't want to be unkind here, and I'm certainly not trying to, I'm only using this for an illustration. I'm not trying to tie them together. But do cows and horses go to hell when they die? No, they don't. Dogs don't go to hell when they die. Cats don't go to hell, but they don't go to heaven either. I'm sorry. You can believe your dog's going to go to heaven if you want, and if that makes you feel good, well, I'm not going to fight you on it. But God's covenant people are going to be in the kingdom, and that kingdom is going to be here on this earth. And doesn't mean that people who are not in the covenant race, who are not redeemed, and who have no relationship in that area, are all going to go to hell. Doesn't mean that at all. So people get all excited about this and think we're a hate group. No, it's not that at all. We don't hate black folks. We help black folks. We've helped a lot of Mexicans, and we've helped a lot of Oriental people. We've got an Oriental family who lives down the road about 20 miles from us, and they came by last year and wanted some peaches. I just gave them to them. I didn't charge them for them. I gave them to them. I don't hate them, but I'm not going to try to tell them that they can pray some kind of prayer and be baptized, and they'll be an Israelite, or they'll be in the covenant relationship with the Lord. And we're new covenant Christians because the new covenant was made with the house of Judah and the house of Israel. That's what God said in Jeremiah 33, and that's what Jesus gave the apostle when he wrote Hebrews in chapters 8, 9, and 10. So that's the system. Now, the problem we have is this. When, thank goodness we don't have the same president we've always had, but the Bible's very clear. He says, you shall not put a man over you that is not related to you, is not of your race. And when you do, you're going to get a law system that hates whites and Christians because they're somewhat synonymous. And we see it in the court, when you have it in the court system, when you have a judge of that racial background, and when you have jurors that are a mixed race or of another race. It's not surprising to me that black professors are telling people everywhere, when you get on a jury, and if the person being tried is a black person, doesn't matter what he did, doesn't matter what he didn't do, vote not guilty. That's what they're being told. Well, so that means you're going to put people back into the society who are guilty of violent crimes and drugs and stealing and all of these kind of things. And it's a racial problem. It's a society problem. And what are you going to do with your children? You know, if your child marries one of them and they have children, they're going to have a very defective spirit, because they don't have both parents with a spirit. And they're not going to walk with God. They're not going to be part of the covenant. And your heritage is going to end with you and not with your children. So we find, many years ago in my book on this subject, I talk about the Simpson trial that was going on at the time. And you could see how that the black racial issue was going to influence the jury. And the man got off. It's obvious he probably killed his wife, but he got off because they're not going to hold one of their own guilty. And they don't know how to have racial jury nullification because they don't know anything about it. They don't know how to take the biblical law and put it into the courtroom and use it.
We're told over in Deuteronomy 23:2 that a bastard, and the word there is mamzer, meaning mixed race, shall not enter into the congregation even for 10 generations.
Yeah.
Well, the congregation there is more than just the local church congregation.
Right, right.
It means the whole body politic. Which
right.
Certainly would include our system of justice and et cetera. And 10 generations is a long time. Pastor Compre figured it out to be one part in 1,024. So
yeah.
They just don't have the spiritual capacity to understand the concepts of the Adamic white race, son of God. That's the real difference. They can know God as their creator, but only we can know him as Father.
Right, I agree, and that's true. The Bible says that, and this is why you have to have some kind of evidence of working with the original languages, or you can't see this, because in the Old Testament, there are at least five words in the Hebrew that are translated stranger, and four of those words are speaking about people within the white race who are not a part of Israel or were not a part of the families. And they could, the Bible was very clear, we just studied that today, is that if they were taking the Passover and they had Edomite strangers in their midst, they were to take it with them. They were supposed to be a part of it. But it's very clear that the word Zur and Mamzer, as you say, both of them, they were forbidden from taking anything from the altar. They couldn't take anything from the sacrifice. They couldn't eat of the sacrifice. They couldn't eat of the Passover. They couldn't be a part of the covenant relationship because that was given specifically for God's people and God's sons. And so today it's messing up our system because they're in our Congress, they're in our halls, and hired into the bureaucracy, they're hired into the state level, elected into the state level, and we've let them integrate our system so badly. I'm not sure it can be healed without the Lord's intervention, but I do know this, that I'm responsible for myself and my family, and I have to do what I have to do to keep my people in my family to walk with God. You know, God said that he was a friend of Abraham because Abraham would control his children and make them obey the commandments. And that's where we are. You may not be able to influence everybody in your community, but you have some control over those in your family. And that's where you have to start. Well, Mike, that's where I've gotten to on this. Maybe there's some specific questions people have about it that they'd like to ask.
Well, let me give out our phone number again. If you'd like to call us toll-free, it's 877-924-7722, 877-YAWS-RACE. If somebody would like to call the number direct, including foreign listeners, which can't use a toll-free number, the number is 678-949-5091. 678-949-5091. I think an example we're given is the Syrophoenician woman. She tried to call on Christ as son of David, which she wasn't entitled to since she wasn't an Israelite.
Right.
And he ignored her, and he finally said that it's not meant to give the dogs the children's bread.
Right.
And she said, true, master, but the dogs get the crumbs from the children's table. So he said that he saw no greater faith in Israel than this woman, and yet she still remained one of the dog races entitled to only the crumbs. She wasn't entitled to the children's
right.
bread.
Right.
And because of belief, we don't change who we are. You either are a son of God or you're not a son of God. It has nothing to do with your belief. It has to do with the racial makeup that you started with. You're either an Adamite or you're not.
Right. And, you know, I'm sure that if Christ today called a woman a dog, I'm sure that they would have the media on him, and they'd be trying to get him to apologize and all kinds of things. But I don't think he would have. And we talked about the problems with law and government, but another problem that with this race mixing is that when you take on mixing of races, you also take on their diseases. One of the promises that God made to the Israelites when they left Egypt was if they would follow his laws, they would not, he would not put any of the diseases of Egypt upon them. But today we have an increase in mental illness and in health illness, all kinds of illnesses, all kinds of new diseases, all kinds of problems. And a lot of this is due to the interracial mixing that has gone on for so long. And I ended my book on the subject of blood transfusions. And I, quite frankly, I don't know if I could take a blood transfusion today or not. I think I could only do it if I had my own family there and they provided the blood for me. I just think we would be doing the wrong thing. And that would be the same thing with organ transplants. I don't want anybody taking my organs when I die, and I don't want anybody else's organs when they die. So I think that all of these things are promoted by the enemy, the people of these what I call the satanic race, and the people who are cursed of God, who cannot be born again, cannot be believers, cannot and will not. In fact, they said very proudly, we will not have him to rule over us. And so These are the people who are promoting all the interracial stuff and all of the wickedness that's going on today.
Oh, yeah, everything else, including homosexuality. Yeah. We have a caller from Independence, Iowa. You're on the air.
Yeah, dude, I understand what you're saying. Could you tell me about Paul being sent to the Gentiles and the dream of, I think it was Peter that had the dream? Of the unclean animals coming down on the blanket, he was told to eat, you know, directly, except for the men.
All right, I think I heard the question was he wanted me to explain the sheep with the unclean animals that Peter was asked to eat, and he referred that to the Gentiles and taking the gospel to them. Is that the question?
Yeah, Paul.
Okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, is who is a Gentile? The common use is that either you're a Jew or a Gentile, and I'll have you know that that is not a biblical stand. That is a Jewish stand. The Jews want everybody to believe that they're the only ones and everybody else is a Gentile. But the Gentiles is nothing but the word tribes or nations. And the 10 tribes, or the tribes and nations out of chapter 10 of Genesis were the descendants of Noah, Japheth, Shem, and Ham. And it says very clearly that these are all the nations of the world. Now, the problem that we get into is that we want to include Africa and the Orient, and they were not included in that. They existed at the time, and Noah's descendants lived around the Mediterranean Sea within at least 200 or 300 miles. They didn't live in Africa. They didn't live in the Orient. And so you have to keep that same definition throughout the entire scriptures. And when he says to take the gospel to the Gentiles, he's talking to the white Adamic race. And the reason he had to let that sheet down is because Peter had grown up and been taught in the old covenant system whereby Israel, who had been taken captive by the Assyrians and dispersed among those white Gentile nations or those white Adamite nations, they were considered unclean. And God was saying, they're not unclean, they're my people too. Now, he was not talking about the blacks. He was not talking about the Orientals. He was talking about the nations of Noah and his sons and his grandsons. And those were all listed in the chapter 10 of Genesis. And that's why when we get into Acts in that verse where it says that the Lord hath made all nations of one blood, you have to understand the word nation is not referring to the black, what some people call black nations or Oriental nations or mixed Asian nations. He was talking about the descendants of Adam and Noah, Shem and Japheth and Ham and their descendants. So you have to stick with the definitions that God gives us. We can't take modern day definitions of words and apply them to scripture. It doesn't work that way. And so when the United Nations says it has 250 nations or 300 nations, well, that may be their definition, but that's certainly not God's definition. God's nations today can primarily be summed up in the NATO nations of Europe and North America, Greenland, Iceland, New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, a few places like that. But the rest of the world is not necessarily included in the nations.
Along with that, we should note that there was a rivalry between the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel. And
right.
Israel was dispersed out into Europe. And it talks about the wild olive being grafted back into the domestic olive. It's not an orange tree or an apple tree or some other tree, or in other words, race that was grafted back in. It was Israel grafted back into Israel. And Christ had to make the people of the kingdom of Judah realize that the other Israelites were also sons of God, entitled to his redemption.
Yes, of course. And that's a good point, Brother Mike. I'm glad you throw in your thoughts there. It's good. Yeah, and this is the problem, is because the word Jew and Gentile and nation and Gentile, yeah, and Gentiles, nation, Jews, is all so misunderstood. And the definitions that are purported in the churches are not the biblical definitions.
One thing is just unclear to me. Noah and his family were the only ones existed after the flood. So where did the non-family race come in?
Well, the Bible doesn't tell us where they came from, and we don't need to ask that question. We don't need to know where they came from. If we had needed to know, God would have told us. We have to assume that he created them somewhere and at some time. But that's not my concern. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1 says this is the book of Adam. This is the book about Adam and his race. It's not about all the other races. And if you buy a new Ford, you get a Ford manual. You don't get a manual that talks about Chryslers and Chevrolets. You get one that talks about Ford. So that's the way the Bible is. The Bible is the book of God for his race, his people, and that's Adam.
With Noah and his sons and the rest of the family, were they Adamic?
Yes. Adamic? They were Adamic until some of Ham's descendants began to mix in with the Orientals and others, and they got rejected and they were cursed. They were all Adamic.
Yeah, I know it's unclear where Goliath came from and his brother or brothers also, so I don't know where they came from after the flood either.
Goliath? Well, that's because you and most people may believe in a worldwide flood. I don't think Noah's flood was worldwide. I think it was a local area. But nevertheless, that's another subject we could spend a lot of time on. The creation people have gone to a lot of... I'm always suspicious when we pick out one thing and spend a lot of money to make it a central talking place. And that's what they've done with Noah's flood. And they say, well, how do you account for all the seashells in the mountains in California or in Colorado or wherever? Well, Genesis 1:1 says the world was covered with water. So there's been more than one flood. But Genesis flood, there's no question who Goliath and his brothers are. They were the descendants of the giants that lived before the flood. So if they survived the flood, then there must not have been a worldwide flood. And I don't know anybody that deals in biblical theology that would question that. And the sons of Anak and Goliath and his five brothers were all descendants of the giants before the flood.
The 31st chapter of Ezekiel also speaks of both the Egyptians and the Assyrians being in the Garden of God. So they were there at the time of Adam. There were other races on the earth. And the word for the world there that supposedly was covered by the flood is Eretz, which means that land or country. It doesn't mean whole world.
Right.
All right. Yeah. We need to do a lot more study.
You have to understand it took me, I was trained as a Baptist minister, and it took me 3 years of really, really hard study to even begin to accept any of this. But when I studied it, I found out that what I was being told in this way was correct. And
we have much material on the flood and other topics too, so you might want to catch our address at the end of the broadcast. I'd like to thank you for your call. We have two other callers waiting on the line, so I'd like to get to those before the end of the hour. So thank you again. Our next call is from Charleston, Illinois. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Mike, and pleasure to talk to you there. I have a question concerning the, when I read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and it says he created Adam in our image, and then later on when we go to Genesis chapter 2, it talks about the Eth Ha'adam being created, which obviously was the Adam of the Bible. Do you believe, or do you think that there was... other Adamites created prior to Adam?
Well, that is a common belief among many of our people. And I just have to tell you, in spite of all the study I've done, I'm still too dumb to know if I have, I can't draw a conclusion about it. I do believe that what happened in Genesis 2 is different from what happened in Genesis 1. So I don't know how to, but I don't know how to process that. And I just have to be honest with you and tell you I don't know. But I don't fuss with anybody who believes that there were two separate creations of Adamite people.
Well, I happen to
believe that they were both white, a pre-Adamic white, if you can use that term, and then the Adam, which had the implanted spirit.
Right.
This is something that the late Ray Kapp and I have discussed on a number of occasions, and some others, so it is understood in that manner by some of us who believe the Israel message.
Well, I can't help but think that there was pre-Adamites, Adamic people. And I guess my reasoning for that is probably just coming from the skull structures. You know, we have the Alpine Aryans, you have a Mediterranean Aryan, and then the Nordic Aryan, which appears to be, by all accounts, the Israelites. It was us, you know, and then you still seem to have those same skull structures as if they were kind of different, you know, considered to be sub-races. And I can't help but think that there were other Adamic people for the Adamic people to marry into. I guess, in other words, this is where Adam's sons, such as Seth and so on and so forth, had to marry somebody. It wasn't just their sisters, I guess, is my
point. Well, I'm certainly not smart enough to debate any issue on that issue, and I'm not offended by that stand. I have heard that, and I have tried to study it and continue to do so today, but I don't have any answers. I do know that Genesis 2 is the Adamite that has the Spirit of God in him, and I believe that he is the progenitor of our race. I believe that.
Okay, well, hey, I'll get off the line and let somebody else on here, and thanks for your time, and we'll see you guys later.
Thank you for calling.
You bet.
Yes. Thank you for your call. And we have a caller now from Ord, Nebraska. You're on the air.
Good evening, Dr. Ramsey.
Yes.
Am I correct in understanding that you're saying that it doesn't matter if you're an Israelite or some other kind of non-Israelite Adamite?
Yeah, I believe that all Adamites, the Bible tends, at least in two places, says all Israel will be saved, and then it says also in Corinthians that all Adam shall be made alive. So I think at some point God is going to rectify and bring about the spiritual renewal of his people. And I believe that's all about Adam.
Another question, are the Israelites pretty much mixed up with the other Adamites now on earth?
Well, I would think that a large segment of them are, yes, most of them, but that was the way it was intended. That's why in Hosea it says he was going to sow them among the nations that he might have a great harvest. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he dealt with that subject when some of the people asked him, if I am married to a man who is not a believer, should I leave him? And Paul said, no, if he's satisfied to be with you, stay with him. That way he is sanctified and your children are sanctified. And the word sanctified there is the same root word as being brought into the covenant. So it was through this Israel sowing and spreading among the nations that would bring the greatest harvest for the Israelite people.
Thank you. Good evening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for your call. And if anybody else would like to call in the time remaining, it's 877-924-7722. I think that one of the problems that we have among our people is that they attribute to the other races the same characteristics that we have just because they like them. And you don't change fathers because of race, like I said earlier with the Syrophoenician woman. And I might mention here that the parable that Christ gave of the prodigal son he was living in iniquity, and yet he was still a son.
Right.
And we are trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit, and the other races are dichotomous, body and soul only. But
right.
essentially, the people that have not had their spirit quickened or energized by the Holy Spirit are not too much different than those of the pre-Adamite dichotomous people. So that is one of the things we need to do, is bring the gospel of the kingdom to them and try to quicken their spirit and restore them to a relationship.
That's true. He did say to go and preach. And when he says go into all nations again, you have to go back to Genesis 10. I don't see anywhere where he told us to evangelize Africa or China or the Orient. I just don't see that. I think the British did it right before the communists came in and stopped them. And they used to go in like to Burma and India and places like that, and they would set up not only their churches and their schools, but they set up their government. And they instituted the laws of God in society. And that's what the people that were not of God rebelled against. But that's what the kingdom of God is going to be like one of these days. These people will have to either choose to live under the laws of God, or they won't be allowed to live, period.
Well, one thing, when this continent was settled, the only difference between Mexico and the United States is an imaginary line. But
right.
in North America, when the British settled, if a white man would go into a black or into an Indian, the offspring would remain with that particular people. They would not come into the white family. Whereas
right.
when the Spanish settled South America and you had a person go into an Indian and the offspring would be taken into the Spanish home, and it became a race of mestizos, a mixed race. And that's the real difference. Mexico has almost an identical constitution to the constitution of the United States, but there's a different people racially, and they don't have the spiritual concept to understand our way of life. We have another caller from Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Hello, Brother Mike. I'd like to congratulate you on your show and all the good that you do. And I'd like to ask a question of you and your guests. In the garden, Eve said that Satan beguiled her. After that transpired, they both hid from God. What was Adam's part in this? Is this where homosexuality began, or what? Can you speak and address that? And also, if you can answer the question of where would one turn about when one person passes on, about burial rites and the preserving of the body, what should an Adamite person do? I'll gladly hang up and listen to your response. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Mike, I'll give my answer, and then you may want to add also that to that. And the first is in the garden. Obviously, the Bible does not tell us exactly what the eating of the fruit was. We think we know what that is. Many think that it had to do with something sexual. Certainly, I don't think there was sodomy, or I don't think Adam created sodomy or practiced sodomy. I think there were female types that would have been available if that's what it was. But the biggest problem in the garden was that Eve, when she sinned, if Adam had have said, no, I don't want to sin, then she would have died, and the garden would have maintained and remained. The problem was, the Bible says that he knew what he was doing, and he chose to follow in her steps. We'll never know why, probably, till we see him. I've always kind of been comical about it and said she was the first woman created perfect. I can't imagine how wonderful she must have looked and been. And maybe he said, I don't want to live without her, and they wanted to participate. I don't know if that's the case. I know that there are some people that believe that there was a female. I don't know if you call him a devil or Satan or a female spirit or what. where he committed sin. I don't know if that's true or not. I can't even tell you for sure if she committed sin with Satan, although there seems to be a lot of indication that that may have been what happened. I don't know. Some people vehemently deny that. So that's about all I can say about that. And Mike, you can add later on that. On the other one, the other question about burial, the Christian faith and the Israelite people have always believed in the preservation of the body for resurrection. Obviously, they didn't always get to do that. They had Israelites who were destroyed by animals. They had people who were on ships and sank in the sea, just like we do. Bodies were not made available. So one thing we know is that God does not require us to show up with a body on Resurrection Day in order to have a resurrection. He's going to give us a new body. So I used to be vehemently strong against cremation. Because the burning of the body has always been a symbol of wickedness and sinfulness and rejection and judgment by God. And no Christian would want that, or no Israelite would want that on his choice. But, you know, I don't know how to answer that other than I do know one thing. I know that today it's getting to where it's so hard to find a place to buy a lot to bury somebody. And I know that the charges that they make at these funeral homes is outrageous. And a lot of people just don't have the money to pay for a burial. So they have no other choice. So I don't know where I'm at on it. I don't condemn any people or judge people on that basis. I don't know about you, Mike.
Well, we carry a booklet on cremation that it's not Christian. I believe it's $3 if anybody'd like to send for it. Incidentally, Pastor Ramsey's book, Racial Difference, More Than Skin Deep, we ask $8 for that. But we do have a lot of material on different subjects, and one of the ways that you can trace Israel into Europe is through the burial mounds. There were burial mounds, usually with the tribe name included with the person's name, going on into Europe. So I do believe in a burial rather than cremation. And some people on their own property bury instead of in a public cemetery, which is allowed here, I know, in Arkansas. I don't know about the other states, though that saves some money. On the first question there, it doesn't specify Adam's sin, and I know people speculate various things, but kind of going through traditional thinking, I believe it was probably Lilith, Satan's mistress, and probably what took place in the garden was the first wife swapping, so to speak. But like I said, it doesn't specify, but that's my opinion of what took place there. Pastor Ramsey, would you like to give out your contact information?
Yes, it's very simple. If you're on the web at all, go to my website at www.EvertRamseyDD, and I didn't put DD on there just to sprout my education, but somebody already had Everett Ramsey, so EvertRamseyDD.com. Very simple. My name, DD.com. And if you want to mail me, you just mail me or the Faith Baptist Church at P.O. Box 18, Houston, Missouri, 65483. And everything I mail out has my phone number on it, so people can call me.
Well, we've got a little less than 2 minutes left. Would you like to kind of summarize some of your thoughts and closing points tonight?
Well, I think I probably won't summarize, but I will say this, that I don't believe that we'll ever solve any of our major problems in America until the racial issue is resolved. And that is going to require a reversal of what happened since the Civil War. And I'm not optimistic about that happening unless God himself gets involved. And I can only pray and hope that he does. Otherwise, I think the country will continue to slide down hill.
We need his spirit to enter us and work through us, and because that is the real difference, is the spiritual difference, not the physical or even the mental, which is, of course, both of them are different also, but the real difference is the spiritual difference, and that's what we need to emphasize.
And I would just add that the biggest problem we have is today's pastors and churches. They're the biggest problem we got.
Well, like I said, they can contact you or they can contact us. Our address will be given here in just a little bit, and there's much information that tries to undo some of the false teachings of the church system.
Yes. Been great being on. God bless you, brother.
Well, God bless you, and I'd like to thank you for being on the broadcast tonight and thank each of our callers and listeners. May Yahweh bless you all, and we'll just close it here.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.